In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
When Christ taught, he did not come to bring peace, but a sword. When Christ taught, he came not just to preach the forgiveness of sins, but also to intensify and to stress the law. Sinners listening were condemned, and through this condemnation were caused to despair of themselves, and they were brought to repentance because of the weight of the law. It was too great for them to bear, and they needed a Savior. They realized they could not do what the Lord required of them. And the same is true today. Our temptation is to seek to only speak peace, to preach only the gospel in its narrow sense, and to leave out the law. But the law must be preached. Christ does not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. It does not simply cease to exist because Christ has come. It does not mean that because Christ has fulfilled it, we have no need for it any longer. Again, our temptation is to reduce the gospel down to the gospel in its narrow sense, to reduce the scriptures to nothing more than Jesus died for you. Our temptation is to preach forgiveness of our sins without first acknowledging that we are indeed sinful, without first speaking of the great wrath that we have brought upon ourselves by our own sin, by our own disobedience. In an attempt to be nice and likable to the world and to our own sinful flesh, we want to put the cart before the horse and speak of forgiveness before condemnation. And we get things out of order. But it must be preached. And the law must be preached first. And if Christ is to fulfill the law, we must acknowledge it. Acknowledge its power over us and its authority over all mankind. Even in our reading this morning, Christ has a lot of things to say about the law and righteousness. The law does not build us up or show us how good and righteous we are. In fact, it does the complete opposite. The longer we spend comparing ourselves to the commands and the requirements of God, the further and further we are pushed into despair. Whoever says to his brother, "You fool," will be liable to the fires of hell. The law does not justify, it condemns. The law shows us our sins, and it reminds us of our need for a Savior. And in response to this, we do one of two things. Either we give in to the sinful tendency of mankind to just simply avoid the law. If the law is what condemns me, we just won't speak of it. I won't go near it, I won't touch it. And by ignoring it, I won't have to deal with its ugly accusations. After all, we tell ourselves, Christ has fulfilled the law. I have no need of it. Throw it out. There's no room for it any longer in this New Testament church. Be gone. We have no need for this archaic relic, which every time I look at shows me my sins and my faults. Or we do the opposite. Instead of throwing it away, we explain it away. Like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, we claim to love the law, to find great enjoyment in it, because we've weakened it. We've robbed it of its teeth and turned it into something obtainable. We turn it into a means of salvation, and we put our hope and our trust in how good of a person we are, and we become proud and puffed up in our own arrogance. We see ourselves like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We are perfect. wonderful people. We've gone above and beyond. I've done all that the Lord could ask any reasonable person. Sure, I might have some mistakes here and there, but they really weren't my fault. Now, were they? But even the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees was not enough to garner salvation. And we certainly are no better than they. If you desire salvation through the law, your righteousness must surpass their righteousness. If you desire to be saved by your own works, you must not only outwardly keep the law, but inwardly, in all things. It is not simply enough to avoid murder, Christ says, but you may not even hate your neighbor, hate your brother. It is not enough to avoid adultery, but you may not even have a lustful thought in your heart and mind. It is not enough to simply not steal, you must also not covet. You may not desire that which is not yours. So, dear Christians, do not deceive yourself. You are not righteous according to your own works. You are sinful and unclean, soiled with sin. Even if you manage in any outward way to keep the law, you do not possess righteousness by your nature. Your nature is corrupted by sin. It is selfish and rotten, and it leads to nothing other than death and condemnation. But of course, we don't even need to look at the inward reality. We all know by our outward acts, we are not righteous. We outwardly break the law time and time again. We get angry and lash out against those around us, our family, those closest to us. In fact, it's often those to whom we are closest that we become the most frustrated and angry, seeking division rather than reconciliation, hatred rather than peace. And it is these actions, this hatred and anger and frustration against those who we call brother and sister, that places us under condemnation. There is no righteousness to be found in your flesh. Christ condemns you. He condemns your hatred. He condemns your actions and your foolishness. You are not worthy of salvation. But there is one who is. As Christ interprets the law, as he expounds upon the law of Moses, he intensifies it. It isn't tainted by the desire to weaken it or make it more palatable to mankind. It is understood in its proper sense. And one righteousness becomes clear. There is a righteousness indeed that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. That righteousness is just not ours, not by our nature. There is one who does possess it. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ's righteousness is far greater than anything we can produce. Christ's righteousness is the righteousness that is necessary for salvation, because it is not simply an external righteousness, though it's never less than that. It is an internal and perfectness, a perfect holiness. For he is not just man, but true God. It is a righteousness that he has by his nature, unblemished by sin, unblemished by hatred and sinful desires. With this full understanding of the law that Christ comes to bring, it becomes clear to us that the only righteousness that can save is Christ. For Christ is defined by the law. He is the one who is perfectly loving, who is perfectly compassionate. Christ is the one who reconciles with his adversaries, who obeys his Father in all things, not just outwardly, but inwardly. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. He is the embodiment of righteousness, a righteousness that has the power to save. And by his perfect life and death upon a cross, he offered the sacrifice that reconciles you to God. He, who could have delivered us over to judge for punishment, came to our aid, taking our punishment, paying our debt down to the very last penny, so that you might be free. For Christ is the one who is cast into the dark prison of the grave and pays everything to the last drop of blood. This is the beauty of Christ. It is a true beauty of the gospel that can only be seen when we have a full understanding of the law, is that he gives you his righteousness and takes your sin. He has taken your worthless, selfish, and arrogant righteousness that you so desperately cling to, and he gives you the pure, unblemished righteousness Christ. He has taken your place. He has faced judgment on your behalf. And he doesn't just throw away the law, but he justifies and saves you through it. And he does all of this that you might be reconciled, so that you might come to the table and participate in his sacrifice. You who have hated your neighbor are now welcome to the very altar of God to receive his blessings. At the altar of the Lord, you who are deserving of the fires of hell are given the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness that exceeds even the Pharisees is imputed to you, because God, in his infinite love and mercy, has loved you in spite of your sin. Do not trust that you are good enough to be saved. Confess that according to the law you are not. Trust in him who has a righteousness that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees. Trust in he who fulfills the law on your behalf, in the one who has seen the hatred and anger in your heart and chose to reconcile you anyway. For Christ Jesus has a perfect righteousness, and he has given it to you in the waters of baptism and in his body and his blood shed for you. In Jesus' name, amen.